Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Our scripture message today on the birth of Christ is going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. While you're getting there, before we get started, I'd first just like to say that I'm standing here today because God is faithful. I never could imagine this here, being with you and sharing with you what I've been learning from the Word of God. I want to share everything that I'm studying with you because you have been a part of my story all along. When I reflect back on this journey, I think of it in seasons. See if you can relate with me in this. In seasons 1 and 2, God reveals himself through the preaching of his word and the communion with the body. In season 3, while exposing us to his truth, we begin to see who we really are and see our need for him in a greater light. In seasons 4 and 5, his spirit begins to build us up in his truth. And while also finding our place here within the family of God, he also places fellow believers in our life through serving together in small groups that will speak truth to us and walk with us. So here we are, season 6. Our fear and doubt begin to build. And I'm reminded of these seasons and of God's faithfulness through it all. And this thought comes to mind. It's been my plan all along. Trust in me. And as a side note, season 7, well, that's completion. So if you don't mind, I'm going to stay here in season 6 as long as I can, okay? The big idea today is that God is faithful. And when I was studying about Advent, or the AKA the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, or the incarnation of Christ, I found myself all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. I know this sounds strange, but the chapter speaks of the fall of Adam and Eve, which is the reason for Advent. As a good father, God found Adam and Eve hiding after they had sinned and explained how their disobedience had caused many consequences and curses upon creation. Their choice to do things their way instead of God's way made everything harder. The consequences with direct bearing on the birth of Christ is what God said in Genesis 3:14 and 15, where he said, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This reveals the future offspring of Eve will have a male child who's destined to bruise his heel by delivering a more serious bruise to the serpent's head. In other words, this is the very first prophecy about Jesus destroying the power of Satan through his life, death, and resurrection. Throughout the Old Testament, prophet after prophet spoke of God's promised Redeemer by saying these things. There is one who is to come who will be like Moses, who will mediate a brand new covenant for people. There is one like David, who will come but have an everlasting kingdom. Then there's a very well-known prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David or over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." All of this is the Bible's lead up to the text that's found in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. There the writer describes the birth of Christ through the perspective of his earthly dad, Joseph, explains how the birth proves that God has been faithful. So let's read Matthew 1, 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. And verse 23 reminds us what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, 14. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." As we look at verses 24 and 25, it says, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angels commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, let me explain. We're told this moment that took place after Mary and Joseph were betrothed, but before they were officially married. Did I hear somebody say, "What's a betrothal?" What is it? I'm glad you asked, Don. I'm glad you asked that question. Just out of the blue like that. Well, it was something that I really wanted to know because I heard that word and I just wanted to know really what it was and what it really meant. And today we call this period of time an engagement. We know that, an engagement. But it was called a betrothal in Jewish culture. Among the Jews, a betrothal was more serious than a concept of engagement. It was basically a pledge that was not to be broken and was done 1 year before the wedding. In Israel, a betrothal was very close to the ideal of marriage, so close that it required a divorce to end it. Now, during the time of betrothal, the bride would still live with her parents. She would not move in with her husband until the marriage was official. This was serious business in Israel. And when a woman was betrothed, not married, betrothed, and her fiancé discovers she's pregnant, the implications were enormous. Our text says that before Mary came together with her husband, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That was a tough idea to explain and for people to believe. Our text also refers to Joseph as a just man who was unwilling to put Mary to shame and to make her a public example. He thought it over deeply and carefully, and then he decided to divorce her in private, to save her from the public humiliation. But we're told that while he thought of these things, that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. This angel called Joseph, the son of David. Did you catch that? And because the New Testament makes such a big deal about Jesus being the son of David, it stood out to me, and I had to find out why Joseph was given this same title. This is very important to the lineage of Jesus, because if Jesus was going to be the son of David, then his earthly father must also be the son of David. The angel told Joseph, "Do not fear marrying Mary, because the baby that was conceived was by the Holy Spirit." Now, once again, we see this we see the conception of Christ in the womb of Mary is attributed to the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, if we could take a look in Luke's version of the announcement to Mary, the angel Gabriel explained to her how she would conceive in her womb and bear a son. But stunned in disbelief, she asked, "How can this be, since I know not a man in this way?" Gabriel explained that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her so that the child would be conceived in a supernaturally. God really put the Holy Spirit in my mind and on my mind to ponder everything that I have heard about the work of the Holy Spirit over the years. And again, I find myself in Genesis. But this time I look at the first two verses in the Bible where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Notice that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters, which means that he participated in the original creation. In Matthew 1, the powerful Spirit who made everything and who brought life out of the darkness is the one who will overshadow Mary to produce Jesus and begin a new creation. Isn't that cool that you see that? And as a little side note, that's the same Holy Spirit that's given to us at our time of believing. Amen. Same Holy Spirit. Let's read verses 23 to 25 again. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What the angel of the Lord did for Joseph is he gave him courage to get through one of the most difficult moments in his life. And that's what Advent or Christmas is all about. When God sent Jesus into Mary through the Holy Spirit, he proved that he still loved creation and is willing to help us through anything if we would just turn our hearts back to him. Let me ask, do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God still loves creation after everything people have done to wreck it? Amen. That was hard for the Jewish people to believe, but the virgin birth proves that he still does. Do you believe that God is willing to help us through anything? Most of us probably make a Christmas list every year. Hey, kiddos, we got any kids here? Have you made your Christmas list this year yet? Raise your hand if you've made them. Have you made them? Well, I tell you what, there's probably some bigger kids in here that have made it. Yeah, you made them. Don's made his, right? Well, I tell you what, I remember this every year. I remember making a Christmas list every year, and I'm telling you, I filled the whole page up, okay? But I remember doing it because I remember it was some catalog that we got in the mail, and it was six of us, so it took a little time to get that catalog around. But it was, I remember things like Sears, I remember Johnny's Toys, Toys R Us, Gold Circle, Kmart. I'm telling my age. I know.
Those magazines, and we would go through there and we'd pick out, and we'd
fill the page up, right? But I remember when it came to Grandma and Grandpa, that wasn't the same list. You know what I mean? It wasn't the same list. And you kids might know this to be true, all right? When it came to Grandma and Grandpa, that list was short. Maybe one or two things. You know why? Because we knew whatever was on that list, we were getting. We knew that. And that was joyful to know that we just had to give them a couple things, and that was great. So, yeah, that's right. You know what I'm talking about when I say that, all right? Now, parents, come on now. It's a pretty cool feeling to know that you've got your kids something that they requested on that list, right? That was a pretty good feeling. But do you remember that feeling when they opened it and you see the excitement on their face and you knew, man, you got them something that they really wanted? I remember that. I do. How much more does our Heavenly Father love to give us good gifts? Let me ask you this. Is there anything on your Christmas list this year that only God can do? Now, I'm not talking about a new Harley or some new vacation destination. I mean, is there something in your life or someone else's life that only God can do? Is there tension going on that only He can resolve? Our big idea is God is faithful. And I'm asking you whether you believe that or not. As I said earlier, He's a good Father who wants the best for His children. So don't be afraid to swing big this year when it comes to that Christmas list, that impossible, something that's impossible on that Christmas. Don't be afraid. Just remember that God wants us to ask in faith, which means that He needs it to be aligned with His will. But either way, His powerful Spirit, who's caused the birth of Jesus Christ, is willing to help you get through any difficult time. And don't forget, wherever you are in your journey and trust in Christ, you need not to work through that alone. Reach out. Let us help. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, it is awesome to be reminded of Your truth, Lord, and how faithful You've been from the beginning of time to where we stand today, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity to be reminded, and praise for You to be able to look back at all the seasons that You've brought us through in life. And to be reminded it's been Your plan all along. Forgive us where we fail You. Draw us closer to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.